You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Hi, everyone, and welcome in a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Coming your way here on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Great to have you with us on a sunny Thursday here in Eastern Iowa. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, Andrew joining us coming up here in just a couple of moments. Got a good show coming up for you, highlighted by Bob Herrig. Sports Illustrated golf writer are going to be joining us. We'll talk about the Truist going on and a look ahead at the PGA Championship, which will get started a week from today down at Quail Hollow in Charlotte, North Carolina, in the Queen City, as it will be a star-studded field down there and a lot of different storylines to talk about. We will do that with Bob Herrig coming up in just a little bit. Lots to get to prior to that. Is there a light at the end of the tunnel as far as all the madness of NIL and portal, at least in college football? We will talk about that and more here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class. Great to have you with us on 1600 AM, 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And as always, if you missed a particular show, either our program, Spencer on Sports, or the Todd Brommelkamp Show in the mornings, you can go back and listen to the podcasts. They are available at kgymradio.com, also available at Apple or Spotify. And a lot of good stuff right there. We encourage you very strongly to go and listen and re-listen, if you will. Also, we will have an Emil Sideway scoreboard and your next chance to enter into the Spring into Cash giveaway. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. How you doing today?
Doing great, Scott. Beautiful day in Eastern Iowa, and had some plans after the show yesterday. I know we both did, but those kind of got dampened.
Yeah, we had that. It was a weird weather day. You don't see many storms going east to west in Iowa. Every once in a while you do, and we had that yesterday.
Strange, yeah.
It was very strange, but yeah, those are the things. Hey, that's okay. The lawn looks even better today.
It does.
And it's going to grow even more, and just means I'm going to have to cut it again in the next couple of days. So I don't mind mowing the lawn, though. It's kind of peaceful out there.
I don't mind having it mowed.
Well, back in when you did mow your lawn, did you hate mowing your lawn?
I loved it.
I really kind of like mowing the lawn. Now, if you do it having a lot of rain and having to do it on a repeated cycle every 3 days might get a little bit old.
Yeah.
But, you know, once a week, you know, take time, go out there. Whatever you do, you got a beverage, which I do at times.
Well, if you have a rider, I
got a rider.
I was pushing.
I've got both. I've got both, but the rider gets a lot more. gets a lot more use. 319-366-1600. We are not here to talk about lawn care today.
No.
We will get to golf coming up. Speaking of nice green grass, we will do that coming up in just a little bit. You let me in on this. I did not even see this. It's broke in the last hour or so. Major League Baseball news. A passing in the world of Major League Baseball. Chet Lemon passing away at the age of 70. Most know him as the starting center fielder for the 1984 Detroit Tiger World Championship team. A terrific team that was. That was a team that got off to the incredible start with the winning streak in April of 1984. Much of that due to Chet Lemon. There are others as well, obviously. They had a catcher by the name of Lance Parrish that was pretty good. Lou Whitaker, Alan Trammell. It was a really good team. You remember the star pitcher of that team?
I'm going to confuse decades if I guess.
I want to say Doyle Alexander. Wasn't Willie Hernandez the...
Sounds right.
Was the closer. I'd have to double check on that, but it was a tremendous team. And they were in first place. They went coast from wire to wire. And you don't see that very often in baseball.
You may see it this year. The Tigers are really hot.
Yeah, you may see it this year.
But Lemon was really, I think, an underrated outfielder. I remember him as a Tiger, but certainly was a White Sox standout for a few years before he got traded. But, I mean, he made 3 All-Star games. He's a really good defensive player. Not an overpowering offensive threat, but in that fit perfectly in that 84 team with the Tigers.
Died at the age of 70 today. Gentleman that was born in Jackson, Mississippi, and not only a great Detroit Tiger, but started his career on my Chicago White Sox back when they actually won games. A few, anyway. Came to the Tigers in a trade. I believe it was a one-on-one trade with Steve Kemp after the 1981 season. Chet Lemon for Steve Kemp. Worked out for the Detroit Tigers.
Kemp was okay.
He was okay. He was all right. But he didn't win a world championship for the White Sox. Was part of the 83 Western Division champion team that lost to Mike Boddicker and the Baltimore Orioles in 1983. But I think a trade that benefited both teams, to be honest with you.
Lemon had a tough go of it. He was diagnosed with a rare blood disorder when he was still playing, I think, or close by there, back into the 90s, and just had all kinds of problems, and like I said, a really tough go of it, but I liked him as a player, even though he was a rival.
He was an all-star at the age of 23 in 1978. He was actually a first-round draft choice of the A's, who traded him to the White Sox in a 4-player deal. The star player of that deal, veteran pitcher Stan Bonson.
From Iowa.
Yes. Former Expo Stan Bonson. Mm-hmm. And the rest is history. He had a really tough go of it. He did get back to Comerica last year for the 40th anniversary of the Detroit Tigers 1984 team that won the World Series. So that was, I'm glad he got back there.
Yeah.
Was not in great health. He was in a wheelchair, but Chet Lemon passing away today at the age of 70. 319-366-1600. And we're going to talk some golf. Bob Herrig will join us coming up toward the bottom of the hour. More baseball news coming up with the Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here in just a little bit. Mention the fact that we may have light at the end of the tunnel here, Mark, as far as dealing with the portal and NIL, et cetera, in the world, at least of college football. As reports coming out today, you and I both saw this, Will Backus writing about it on CBS Sports, but it has been on other publications as well, that Nick Saban, the former Alabama coach, is going to serve as the co-chair for a commission that is going to be convened on college football. He's going to be joined by a Texas businessman, Cody Campbell, a prominent Texas businessman. Now, this is all being put together, or at least in the early stages anyway, by the United States government. We're not here to say if that's right or wrong. I think that you and I and others are just happy that something is being done, put together, that can at least look at what is going on. And to be honest with you, the craziness that is going on as far as NIL is concerned and the portal is concerned, at least as far as college football is concerned. And it's not set in stone yet, but it looks like this is going to happen, which would be good, I think.
Yeah, the commission is more of an advisory type thing, as I read it. And Saban, if you're going to have anybody be involved, I would guess Saban would be one of your guys, if not the guy, to advise on what's going on in college football these days. I don't think it's going to, the commission wouldn't have any power per se. I think Congress and the courts and all that probably would prevail in many instances, but somebody's got to take charge of this whole climate in college sports. And whether it's a good step or not remains to be seen. I think it originated probably with Tommy Tuberville having the former coach and now a congressman having discussions with the administration and, you know, about NIL in particular. And, you know, what I hate to see the government get involved. I really would. But somebody has to, and there has to be some governing body, element, commission that eventually is in place. I felt that for a long time.
Jack Morris, 7193. Thank you.
How could I forget the former twin?
319-366-1600. Cody Campbell is the founder of the Texas Tech Matador Club NIL Collective. Which, you know what? You need somebody like that, that knows how this works. You know that Nick Saban knows how this works. Nick Saban got out of college football partly due to the fact that he saw what was coming down the line. Now, I really believe that. He and other coaches, whether it be college football or college basketball. Now, this commission would examine prominent issues facing college sports like transfer portal, unregulated booster compensation that goes directly to athletes, Mark. What is that called? Pay for play.
Mm-hmm.
The employment of college athletes and Title IX, among other topics. That is according to Yahoo Sports. I think a good idea. Get in there. We got to have something. You got to have something in there to try to regulate everything that is happening. It just cannot be pay for play.
Yeah, I think talk is cheap, though. And Saban and this booster, whoever else is involved, is not going to have much, if any, power to regulate, enforce, all the above, whether it's the NCAA or some other separate organization. This is a commission that basically is in an advisory capacity. So might be a good first step. We'll see.
It is a good first step. And like you said, we need something like this. Will they work in conjunction with the NCAA? That, I guess, is another question that has to be answered. Are they going to have a little bit of, are they going to be able to have a little bite in this? Are they going to just be somebody that's going to give a little bit of advice to the NCAA and then the NCAA turns their back on them and say, whatever. Things are going well. Nothing to see here. You know, Rome is not burning at this time.
I think you're going to see labor laws contested, so many other things, especially that. And I'm not sure the commission can do much about that.
No. But get them together. Get them together. I still think sometime soon we are going to see the power conferences dissolve themselves from the NCAA. They're going to go into their own separate entity, whatever that may be. And that's going to be in football. That's going to be in basketball. Maybe an opportunity for other sports to join down the line. I can see women's basketball coming in. As women's basketball continues to grow and grow and grow and get bigger and bigger and bigger, more money involved in women's basketball. I think that's going to be thrown in there sooner than later. I'm not sure baseball is going to be. I know wrestling is not going to be because there aren't enough schools that offer wrestling programs. Same thing with baseball and softball. But I think that we're going to see that coming up in the future.
Yeah, I mean, well, I don't think either one of us or many people out there could have predicted where we're at now. And I'm not about to predict what's going to happen in the future.
Congress has teeth. The NCAA is toothless. Well, we can't have the NCAA be toothless, though. That's the problem. They gotta step up. They need good leadership in there. Someone who is going to take a stand and, I'm not going to say go after schools like this, but just put regulations in there.
A couple weeks ago in a meeting of ADs, there was the story out there that they're talking about developing a commission within the NCAA, not this commission that we're talking about with Saban, but maybe a regulatory arm of some kind of the NCAA. That'd be novel for the NCAA to come up with an effective body that is going to look at NIL and everything that's involved in college sports these days. And that was advanced. Some 150-odd rule changes in the voluminous NCAA handbook were talked about. I think more action on that is going to happen this summer, perhaps.
There's a lot coming up. This is a big summer.
It is.
We got the House suit, whenever that's going to come to fruition, and maybe a redo of a very thick handbook that is out there for the NCAA. Have you ever read that? Or you've leafed through it, I know. I've leafed through it.
I've consulted it. I haven't read it.
Consulted, not read it. But there's a lot to it. It is big. 2757 asks, why doesn't some group try to replace the NCAA and get the Power Four on board? I think that's what's coming.
Mm-hmm.
As I indicated about a minute ago, I think that is the way of the future. As far, it's a whole different business from what Iowa and Iowa State are doing than what you and I and Drake are doing. They're just trying to hold on at this time, and you need two separate bodies for that.
Perhaps these two guys, Saban and the booster, should be involved on a commission with the NCAA and not in the federal government, because I think it could be more effective in that way. But nobody asked me.
A lot of people are saying, aren't there bigger fish to fry by the government than to worry about football? But, hey, you know what?
There's always, that's always the case.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. And we are going to talk with Bob Herrig coming up here just past the bottom of the hour as we get into golf talk once again. And if you missed our talk, we had a good one yesterday with Brian Haas, good edition of Caddy Smack and the Gym Class. You can go back and listen to that as well on our podcast, available at kgymradio.com. No basketball or baseball tonight. This is a rarity in the summertime, or a rarity throughout the sports calendar for us here on KGYM. ESPN is not offering an NBA game tonight, and the Cubs are off. They go to New York tomorrow to take on the New York Metropolitans. There is playoff action coming up tonight, in case you are wondering about that. One game in the NBA, Golden State tries to take a 2-0 lead against the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight in Minneapolis. And in hockey, pair of game twos tonight. Washington trying to even things up. The Fighting Ovechkins will take on the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. And it will be Edmonton looking for a 2-0 lead. Go Canada as they take on the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. That hockey doubleheader, by the way, on ESPN this evening.
We'll talk some horse racing tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow? No, that's next week.
That's next week, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's coming up. I know. Go out and shop for your Mother's Day gifts.
Good thing I asked. Because I thought it was a week hence. I thought it was a week from Sunday. No, Mother's Day is this Sunday.
Oh, boy, you'd have been in trouble.
I would have been so in trouble. So thank you for that. Appreciate that.
What's worse, forgetting Mother's Day or forgetting a birthday?
Well,
or an anniversary?
Anniversary. I have not done that, though. I have not done that. Now, fortunately, my wife's birthday is in mid-May, so that's where I got confused with the Mother's Day, because I thought it was one of those weird, weird calendar events this year that my wife's birthday...
Does it fall on Mother's Day ever?
It has... Once, maybe, I want to say.
So you can do a two for one.
Oh, yeah, that's a big day. That's a big day. It's not this year, but it's a week off. So
you're welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And my mom appreciates that as well. All right. There you go. 319-366-1600-326. Going to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here. It's brought to you by Emil's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across in the Lindale Mall next to the Home Depot. Online at emilshideaway.com and open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. And they're a classic local American restaurant. Great dining area, great bar area. And say hi to Jamie. I'm assuming she's back now.
I believe she is.
All right. We missed her last week.
We did.
What's up?
On the scoreboard today, four afternoon games in Major League Baseball, two finals. The Twins have defeated the Orioles 5-2, completing a three-game sweep. Boston shut out Texas 5-0 in progress. In the top of the eighth inning, the Royals shutting out the White Sox 6-0. And the Tigers all over the Rockies 9-0 in the fifth inning in the first of two games. Earlier today, the Pittsburgh Pirates fired manager Derek Shelton after six seasons. The Pirates are off to a 12-26 start. Bench coach Don Kelly was named interim manager. Former Iowa golfer Carson Shockey advanced through U.S. Open local qualifying yesterday in Omaha, earning medalist honors with a 65. The American Rivers Conference Baseball Tournament is underway at Veterans Memorial Stadium in Cedar Rapids. Second-seeded Coe will take on number 3 Luther at 5 p.m. And finally, the NCAA has advanced a recommendation that could see FCS football teams playing 12 regular season games instead of 11 starting in 2026. A vote on that recommendation will be held in June.
Now, my question is this, and we're efforting Colbert for next week to talk UNI football after their spring. They actually had a game. They actually had a game at Cedar Falls
at the
new high school stadium. But my question is this, if there is a 12th game in FCS, is that going to be a conference game or is that going to be a money-making non-conference game?
Sounds like a non-conference game.
Okay. Another reason why there needs to be two separate entities. As 2757, rip it down, start over, no more patchwork fixes. Get it done. By the way, good seats, as I check, are very much available over the 4th of July weekend. If you'd like to witness some great baseball between the Chicago White Sox and the Colorado Rockies at Coors Field. Starting at $18. I'm sorry, $18.77 will get you into the ballpark to see the Colorado Rockies face the Chicago White Sox on Sunday, July the 6th.
They pay you or you pay them?
At this point, you are paying them. That could be a sliding scale by the time two more months roll around in the baseball season. White Sox... not doing well in Kansas City. They're going to get swept. Is it a final now?
It is not a final.
It's not a final.
No.
It might as well be a final. Did anyone get hit on the head with a pop-up today?
No, but I haven't checked the White Sox highlights.
Low lights, as we call them.
Headlights.
319-366-1600. We'll take a break, come back. Bob Herrig, who covers golf for Sports Illustrated, set to join us. And lots to get to on the golf world, and we'll do that when we return.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And there's going to be plenty of sunshine through the day. It'll be a bit breezy and temperatures will be held to around 70 degrees. The winds will back off tonight. The sky stays clear and temperatures will be dropping into the upper 30s to around 40 by tomorrow morning. Then tomorrow will be sunny. Temperatures will be in the low 70s. We'll then get into the upper 70s on Saturday and low 80s on Sunday with sunny skies and dry conditions through Mother's Day weekend. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Severe weather can sneak up fast, and Linn County REC wants you to stay safe and stay informed. May is National Electric Safety Month, so here's a handy checklist to help you get prepared for storm-related power outages. First, charge your cell phone and portable chargers, and keep a flashlight, radio, and some fresh batteries on hand. Second, visit the Outage Center at LinnCountyREC.com to familiarize yourself with resources, like the outage map and details on how to report an outage. Third, sign up for outage alerts so Linn County REC can notify you if the power goes out at your home or business and let you know when it comes back on. Next, if you have a portable generator, be sure you know how to use it safely. Never plug generators into standard electrical outlets and follow all manufacturer instructions. And finally, for more information, go to LinnCountyREC.com. Helping you plan ahead. Another one of the benefits of membership with Linn County Rural Electric Cooperative.
At Old Town Construction, we're more than just builders. We're a family. Making friends, having fun, and giving back to our communities is our top priority. From first consultation to final nail, our team is dedicated to delivering top quality work with a personal touch. Home renovation, new build, or repair, we're here to ensure the job is done right. With Old Town Construction, you're not just getting a contractor, you're getting a partner who cares about your community. Let's build something great together. Visit OLDETownConstruction.com today.
Mother's Day is coming up, and Siegel's Jewelry is your place for presents. All new and estate jewelry is 40 to 60% off, including diamond earrings and pendants, diamond rebounds, birthstone jewelry, gold chains, Seiko watches, and more. Gold-plated roses retail $99, now only $49. Go visit record-high prices. Trade in or sell yours for even greater savings. Siegel's Jewelry, a half block south of Town & Country Shopping Center. Remember,
there's always something special at Siegel's.
This is a test of the emergency alert system. This concludes this test of the emergency alert system.
The playoffs are in full swing, and you can get in on all the action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Go from tracking the latest game-changing moments to placing bets in just a few taps. Right now, new customers can get $100 in bonus bets when you make your first $10 wager. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app and sign up with promo code JOEQ. That's J-O-E-Q to get started today. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Offer not available in New York.
Adam Schefter here. When the draft clock is ticking, you've got to pick the best talent, regardless of position, to fit your team's needs. Well, if you're hiring for your business, you want to find the best talent for any of your roles. That's why you need ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter's powerful technology hustles to find qualified candidates for your job immediately. And if you see a standout candidate, ZipRecruiter lets you personally invite them to apply. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/sports. That's ZipRecruiter.com/sports.
334, back with you here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class on Eastern Iowa's Home for Sports, 1600 ESPN. Scott, Mark, and Andrew all with you here today, and Spencer on Sports will follow us, and he will be on starting at 4 o'clock. 0520 has me beaten. Anniversary on the 30th, Mother's Day coming up, and wife's birthday on the 15th. That's a trifecta. Don't forget any of those. Probably easier when they're all into the same month, right?
Yeah, I mean, I have a daughter born on Christmas Day.
Well, so, that's easy.
Yeah, and a son is born a week before that. So, yeah, I can relate to the texter when things pile up like that.
Well, we go from that to talk golf. Bob Herrig, kind enough to join us. You can give him a follow on X and Twitter. Read his stuff as he covers golf for Sports Illustrated. And busy time right now with the signature event, the Truist, going on at the Philadelphia Cricket Club. And then leading up to the PGA Championship, the second major of the year, coming up next week at Quail Hollow in Charlotte. And Bob, thanks for joining us. Appreciate it.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
You bet. And it's a I tell you what, I've been watching the coverage today. I'm excited about it. It's great to go to, even if it's a one-off, like it probably is, going to an old-time Tillinghast course like the Philadelphia Cricket Club. This is like going back in time a little bit. And the way it sounds, the players are enjoying this tournament as well this week.
Yeah, my understanding is they kind of like the change of pace. And, an old historic course like this is good to showcase, I think. The problem is, it's for you and me and probably everybody out there listening, it's probably all you want, everything you'd want. It'd be a great test. But for these guys, it's really hard to test them. I mean, it's only 71 or 200 yards, which is not long by today's standards, certainly for them. It's soft. They've had some rain. You can see already there's a lot of good scores. And look, that's okay. As long as we can accept that there's going to be good scores, it's fine. It's just that, it's probably different than we'll see next week, and certainly way different than we'll see next month for the U.S. Open at Oakmont.
Yeah, it is. And, of course, with that in mind, and it's been raining there as well, so it's softened up that golf course even more, which makes it more susceptible to scoring. But I knew we would have the debate back on rolling back the golf ball, and that's exactly what we've been talking about this week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where you guys stand, but my sort of very periphery knowledge of the technology, the science behind rolling back the golf ball that's been discussed, is that it's really only going to impact the elite players, because the system, the testing system they're using to set up this ball is geared towards high swing speeds. Obviously, pro level elite players. So the better you are in theory, the more you stand to lose. The harder you swing, the faster you swing, that sort of thing. And so the concern has been, the average guy doesn't want to lose any length. We don't hit it far enough as it is. We don't need to be losing 10 yards. But my understanding is we're not going to. We're going to lose maybe a yard or two, if that. And it's the higher level players that are going to lose 20, 25 yards, which might make all the difference at a place like this. Now it means that you can't bomb it over a bunker, perhaps, or maybe you have to play short, or maybe they can even shorten some of the holes, and they're still going to play short to these guys. They're still going to be able to hit it way out there. But 500 yard par fours, that's a par five for most people. For those guys, it's a driver and a 7-iron or a 6-iron. Rory's hitting 7-irons and 8-irons into the par fives at Augusta. So I also say to people, or I ask the question when this comes up, do you ever buy used golf balls or refurbished golf balls? Or do you ever play golf balls that you found, like in the water or in the woods? You're punting along, you see a ball, looks pretty good, you put it in your bag and you use it. Well, if you're doing that, then you know nothing about the characteristics of that ball. You've probably lost distance off that ball anyway, because if it's been sitting there for a couple of weeks or a month, it's probably not as good as it was when it was opened. And so if you're willing to do that and probably not even really noticing a difference, why are you concerned about a, quote, rolled back golf ball? I just think they needed to do something. I'm not sure if this is the ultimate answer, but I'm glad they're at least trying.
Scotty Scheffler back in the winner's circle. Not that he was playing poorly previously, Bob, but he did win in dominating fashion last week. How will that affect, do you think, the PGA Championship next week?
I think it just adds another layer of intrigue now. I think it's great. I mean, so the question for him going in won't be, why haven't you won?
Mm-hmm.
Even though, as you said, he's been playing nice golf. He just hadn't, you know, to this point last year, he had won four times. This time, he's only won once, and he hadn't won before last week. It's not the end of the world. I believe he had had five or six top tens. He hadn't missed any cuts. Obviously, he had an injury to start the year that set him back, and you know, he had to catch up a little bit. We probably should have all recognized that this was inevitable, right? He was going to have a hard time matching last year anyway. So I think it's great for the tournament because you don't have that question going in. You've got him having won. You've got Rory having the major burden off his back. You've got a guy like Justin Thomas who won the last time the PGA was at Quail Hollow, just coming off a win. You know, I think that's really good. And you've got, you know, you still got the storyline of Jordan Spieth trying to complete the career Grand Slam. It's not been as top of mind as Rory was, mostly because I think Jordan hasn't won much lately. It's been 3 years since he won. So, you know, he did have a good final round in Dallas. You know, I don't necessarily think he's that far away from contending, but again, he hasn't won much lately. So, but still, it's another story going in there. And plus, you know, the PGA has a very strong field. I mean, I haven't even mentioned Bryson, you know, who just won a LIV event and was obviously in the last group with Rory. I still kind of keep thinking that John Rahm's going to turn it around here in the majors. He's been playing some pretty solid golf. I just think there's potential for a lot of really cool stories next week.
Yeah, there is. And you mentioned a couple of them. You got Rory, you got Scottie Scheffler, Jordan Spieth, Justin Thomas, and then you sprinkle in the nine LIV players, and that includes Dustin Johnson, who got in by exemption along with Ricky Fowler earlier this week. And, of course, Ricky's celebrating by having a great round today. But then you've got Bryson, and he's fresh off a victory on the LIV Tour. So you've got all of the top flight golf folks lined up for a major next week. And I imagine that the folks down at Quail Hollow and at CBS and in the PGA of America are pretty happy.
Yeah, look, you know, the golf is, you know, PGA Tour golf especially has rebounded nicely this year. It's had a run of good ratings after there was a lot of negativity about golf's ratings being down and, you know, the divide in the game and hurting that. But, you know, really ever since Pebble Beach in early February, I think I always tell people you have to throw January out. You cannot compare any kind of golf ratings in January when the NFL and college football are being played. I mean, I'll do this for my job, and I watch the NFL and miss golf a lot during the playoffs, right? So it's really hard for them to get an audience at those tournaments in January. But when football's over, when it's not going up against golf, you know, Pebble Beach was a great example. When they went to Torrey Pines the second time for Genesis, you know, these numbers have been up pretty much across the board all year. Even last week, I mean, for a tournament that had one of the weaker fields of the year and a guy who was winning by eight in Scotty, in other words, you know, it was a foregone conclusion, you know, it had an incredible Sunday rating. I think that bodes well for this week, you know, because they've got the storylines we just talked about. Obviously, more people tune into the majors. It's a beautiful golf course. And, you know, I just think it's got a lot going for it. Hopefully the weather cooperates, you know, in this part of the country, in that part of the country, this time of year. It's getting warmer. There can be thunderstorms. You sort of hope that stays away so that there's no distractions, that they can play straight through.
Bob, a few moons ago, Scott and I covered an event here called the Amana VIP I don't know how much you know about it, but Amana Refrigeration had a cap program where PGA Tour players wore the Amana cap, and one of those guys was Jim Dent, who passed away recently, and I think really an interesting guy. I mean, he was hitting the ball 310, 320 with Persimmon Woods or whatever he was hitting then, but never won on tour, won a dozen times on the Champions Tour, but I think really an interesting, maybe underrated guy that has passed.
Yeah, Jim Dent was, there's a name out of the past who had a tough upbringing. You know, he was basically orphaned as a teenager. Caddied. He grew up in Augusta. He caddied at Augusta Country Club. He came along at a time when there were access issues for black players. He made it onto the PGA Tour. He never won on the PGA Tour, but he was successful enough that he got himself onto the what was then called the Senior PGA Tour, now the Champions Tour. As you noted, I think he won 12 times. He did very well for himself out there, and he was an incredibly long hitter way before his time, way before guys were hitting it that far. Sort of a sight to behold, my sense is that, like putting and other aspects held him back. But everybody you talk to who knew Jim Dent talked about what a nice guy he was, a giving guy, a very generous person. I don't know what the circumstances were, but I get the sense that it was somewhat surprising that he passed. I know he had just done some interviews earlier this year. Somebody I was reading recently was doing a story on Pete Brown, who was the first black golfer to win on the PGA Tour in 1964. And they were friendly. They knew each other. And so Jim Dent was being interviewed about him. And so I'm not exactly sure, unfortunately, the circumstances there.
Yeah. Bob Herrick joining us 3:47 here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here in 1600 ESPN. And had time to look back on Augusta now and just how epic and big that was for Rory, not only to win the green jacket, but to get that all pressure off his back as far as the career Grand Slam is concerned. And I think the golf world has had a chance to put it into perspective now.
Yeah, I mean, I just know from a media perspective and having been there for a lot of these close calls lately, the U.S. Open last year and in 2023, he finished second at the U.S. Open to Wyndham Clark by a shot. And, Rory kind of missed a really good opportunity down the stretch at L.A. Country Club on a hole where he probably should have made a birdie. And he ended up missing a playoff by a shot. And the year before that, some of it is just, it's bad luck. I mean, Rory on the Sunday at St. Andrews, he was tied for the lead by four shots with Victor Hovland. And Victor Hovland fell off in the final round. Rory hit every green in regulation and did not make a bogey and still lost. Cam Smith came around with the great final round. But, Rory was, there's some short par fours. He did not make enough birdies. He shot 70. At the old course, you've got to take advantage of the short par fours. To hit every green in regulation and not win when you're leading by that many and the guy you're playing next to has fallen off, it's almost unbelievable, right? So Rory's had a lot of chances here the last few years. And on the back nine on Sunday, especially, obviously after what happened at 13, he bogeys 14. All of a sudden, he's behind. 15 and 16, as great a shot as he hit in, he missed putts. He missed a 7-footer for eagle on 15 and a 9-footer for birdie on 16, or he would have been, he would have been fine. As it was, he needed that kick-in birdie on 17 to take the lead. And then missed another short one, not necessarily makeable for absolutely, but he still missed a five-footer on 18. You know, I'm sitting there thinking, if he doesn't win this, how did he come back from it? And what do we ask him the next time? I mean, it was a storyline that was getting difficult, you know? So, you know, if we're treating it that way, imagine how it must have felt. So it was, you know, and it was incredible theater. There's no doubt about it. And, you know, it's one of the things that makes the Masters so compelling.
Bob, last for me, U.S. Open qualifying ongoing right now at the local level anyway. I mean, this is quite a process. It always is. Could have a 14-year-old in the tournament. Tennessean advanced to final qualifying, and all over the country, all over the world, they're trying to qualify for the U.S. Open. A couple stages. Is this the greatest exercise in sports or the worst?
Maybe it's both.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, it's the U.S. Open likes to peg itself as sort of the most democratic of the majors. You know, obviously it has qualification criteria, you know, past winners and the FedEx list and the DP World Tour in various ways. And probably 80 to 90 guys get in that way. But that means there's another 50 or 60 spots for guys to come through qualifying. And they are very, very married to the idea of keeping the tournament that way. And you know, like as you just mentioned, the local qualifying is now going on. There are 18-hole rounds. There's a lot of great stories. There's young and old trying. And if they can make it through to sectional, or it used to be called that, it's now called final qualifying, there'll be 9 or 10 of those sites. I think there's one in Japan, there's one in the UK, and then there's going to be 8 in the U.S. and not one, another one in Canada. Almost assuredly, I think the Monday before the Canadian Open, they have one there, and there's also one in Columbus for after the Memorial, and you know it yields a lot of really good stories sometimes. Now these guys don't typically go on to win, but it happens. I mean, Lucas Glover, who won 2009, made it through qualifying. I'm pretty sure that Michael Campbell in 2005. I mean, there's been stories of guys who had to go through qualifying to get in. Rocco Media was a great example when he almost beat Tiger. You know, he had to go through qualifying to get in, and he was in a playoff for one of the last spots at his qualifier. So it's just a neat aspect of the event. And, you know, it's always kind of fun to track how those guys do.
Bob, Rory, I'll give you Rory, Scotty, and I'll even throw Justin Thomas in there or the field next week. Who do you take?
Yeah, I always love those questions, and I almost always side for the field. And I probably still would because, you know, so it doesn't take much for a guy to get derailed. And you're still talking about out of 156 players, there's 20 club pros, okay? Those guys are not going to be very unlikely they're going to be competitive towards winning. But the remaining 130 or so guys or 125, those guys are all very accomplished players. You know, the PGA always invites, if a guy slips through the cracks and doesn't get in, they invite everybody in the top 100. And then they pick off a few more beyond 100. And so you've got pretty much, I mean, this is a stronger field. And because there's no live guys in the Players' Championship, this is probably a stronger field than the Players, which to me had been the strongest of all of them. When the U.S. Open has the qualifiers and amateurs, the Masters obviously has a smaller field, a lot of past champions, you know, and the Open also has qualifiers and past champions. So does the PGA have past champions. But I still think it's the strongest field of the four majors, and it's probably now stronger than the Players' Championship. You know, so, like, it's hard to pick one guy or three guys and say they're absolutely going to do it. But it's a fun conversation piece because I could see going the other way, too.
I think I'm with you. I'm leaning the other way. But I think for this one, I might lean to the trio. We'll see. Well, enjoy it in Charlotte, and we'll talk before we head to Mighty Oakmont in July.
It sounds great, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Bob. Bob Herrig joining us from Sports Illustrated to talk golf here today. We'll take a break, come back, wrap things up after this.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local. This message proudly presented by Network Computer Solutions, Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, Orchestra Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
Hey, hey, what do you say? The Cubs are on 1600 ESPN. We're broadcasting Chicago Cubs games all season long. Proudly presented by Fleming Irrigation. Get ready to fly the W and see KGYMradio.com for scheduled games.
This PGA Tour moment is brought to you by True Green.
In the 2000 PGA Championship, Tiger Woods was going for his third major in a year. Tiger found himself in a shot-for-shot, birdie-for-birdie fight with Bob May. Tied after 72, they headed to a three-hole playoff where Tiger hit a 20-foot putt for birdie on 16. He quickly walked toward it, pointing at the hole as it dropped in. Tiger went on to win by one.
True Green, the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour.
A great lawn is like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, so they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. It's more affordable than you think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.
Limited time offer. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Got about a minute remaining here on the program. Mark, Friday tomorrow, we've got a topic for people to ponder overnight.
Yeah, we were talking about how to phrase this, but it's basically family, favorite family combinations. Could be father, son, mother, daughter, father, daughter, whatever it may, cousins.
Cousin, cousin.
Whoever. And sports history, your favorites in sports history. I mean, the Griffies are obviously right there. I'll throw one out as an example.
There you go. So we will talk about that coming up tomorrow with our Friday topic. Looking forward to that. Spencer on Sports coming your way next. He'll be on from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here this evening. And then we are back with you coming up tomorrow at 3 o'clock with another edition of the Gym Class. Have a great night, Mark.
You got it. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN.
Whether you're building a single roof or a successful roofing business, roofing contractors like you need the right tools for the job, and software is no exception. ServiceTitan is on a mission to be the most powerful software